Okay, the subcommittee meeting for House Study Bill 501 will come to order. I know there's a number of people in the room, and ordinarily at some of these subcommittee meetings we go around the room and introduce ourselves, but I think there's probably way too many people for us to do that today. But I thought what I would do is start out by having the subcommittee members introduce ourselves, and then we'll go into a little bit of a description about what the bill is and what it is intended to do and some of the background on that. Then we'll have some folks speak on the bill and take it from there. So my name is Chip Baltimore. I'm the chair of the House Judiciary Committee and chairing this subcommittee. So that's who I am.
My name is Mary Wolf. I represent House District 98. I'm ranking member of Judiciary.
Matt Winchell, State Representative, House District 17.
And I would ask, I know it's a big room and the acoustics aren't that great in here. We've got a number of media folks here. If we're going to speak, I'd ask for whoever's going to speak to step up to the table, have a seat, and hit the microphone so we can use that. So thank you all very much for coming. House Study Bill 501, in a nutshell, does a couple of different things. First of all, it changes the classification of the crime of kidnapping when the victim is a child. And a child is defined as somebody 15 years of age and younger. And instead of being a simple Class C felony, under ordinary circumstances, this would elevate it to a Class B felony. Which is punishable by up to 25 years in prison. Currently, if there is no sexual assault type element or dangerous weapon used or death or serious injury, then a kidnapping is a kidnapping. It's just a Class C felony. It's punishable by up to 10 years. We thought that given the situation that took place, unfortunately, this past summer, that it was important to take further actions to protect children who are particularly vulnerable to kidnapping. So whether or not there is an injury or a sexual assault, I think this bill says that in Iowa, if you kidnap a child, you're going to be treated very, very harshly and severely. The other part of the bill addresses the award or the giving of good time credit, good behavior credits, once somebody is convicted. The current status of the law is such that in Iowa, for every day that you serve in prison, you get 1.2 days of additional credit towards your sentence if you behave yourself. And in the particular case that was relevant this past summer, the perpetrator was originally sentenced to 41 years in prison. He ended up serving 19 years. Because he was given good time for the remainder of the other 22 years of that, and then was released, being considered under the law to have served his complete sentence. He was not paroled. He was released because he had been deemed to have served his entire sentence. So he was under no supervision or parole requirements whatsoever. What this bill does is say that for certain sexual or violent crimes when the victim is a child, again, 15 years of age or younger, you don't get the benefit of good time credit. You serve your sentence. So that's what the bill does in a nutshell. I think that it's a bill that is going to elevate the protection that we are trying to provide to Iowa's children. I think it addresses and closes a couple of loopholes that allowed the perpetrator in the most recent situation to have been out and committed the very heinous crimes that he committed, for which we are all very, very sad. But I think it's important for us to address those and move this forward. So those are my opening comments on the bill. Would either of my companions here on the committee like to have any comments to start before we go to the public?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Very good. All right. Would anybody like to speak? All right. Please, if you'd step forward. And I'd ask you just any chair would be fine, and we'll pull up a microphone there for you. Yeah, just go ahead and pull it. do that. And then just hit the button there. And if you wouldn't mind, just for the benefit of everybody in the room, just give us your name and then go ahead and get started.
Thank you. My name is Denise Shepherd. I am the mother of Kathleen Shepherd. That was taken May 20th by Michael Klunder, a repeat offender. He killed her. She was found 3 weeks later in the river down at the Kate Shelley Bridge. There's no words that I can say that can make you understand, but the one thing that I've had to do that was not something that I would want any parent to do is have to read the autopsy report on your child. That is something that still to this day makes me cringe. The things that he has done in the past, his ability to get out, I understand how that works. His grandfather didn't. But it's hard to think that going forward on this, that we should be able to save other children. There's nothing I can do to bring my child back. I came here today to make sure that everybody understands that we fully support the no time off for good behavior. To me, that's something that you would give to a child for doing something right, not to a criminal that's spending time in prison. The changing of the age from 12 to 15, I think that's a wonderful idea. I do think that maybe even the 16 and 17, just because legally they are still children. But I think that it's with what happened, there should be some way to make sure that they stay in prison. I would love to be able to say they stay in prison for the rest of their lives, because there is no cure for what they have. They did be able to get time off of good behavior because they did not have a child there in front of them to tempt them to keep going, to repeat. And this wasn't something that was put out to the news, but he confronted our youngest daughter before he even came up across Kathleen and Desi. So he was out prowling for days, if not longer. So, and now I have my 13-year-old daughter that says that it should have been her because she was seen first. So now our family has been dealing with that. Our community has been awesome coming together. But since we do live in such a small town, you don't see as many kids out running around as you used to. And I think that if this law is being able to be passed with no time off for good behavior, thrown out the window completely, I think that will keep these monsters in prison for longer and maybe make them think. And if we are able to keep at least one in prison for their full amount of time, who knows how many children we could save. Though I have one other thing. When an individual is convicted of the crime that qualifies for the category C sentencing, will that be able to dilute by the sentencing judge, or is that statute rock solid? That's something that I think that we should be able to try to make stick for that completely.
In my understanding of how this is drafted is that there is no discretion for the judge to dilute and give good time credit on that. But that's not a judicial discretion matter.
Okay. I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being here. We really appreciate
that. Do I push this issue?
Yeah, be good. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Right. Come on up. It's okay. Okay. I'll just pull that a little bit closer to you, too. That'd be great. So. All right. There you go. Well, welcome. Thank you for being here, and so you can go ahead and tell us your name and get you started.
My name is Desiree Hughes. We are all here for the same reason, to get this law passed.
Let me see if I can get a little closer to you, okay? There we go. I'm sorry. I don't mean to stick it in your face. I want everybody to hear you.
It's fine. My name is Desi Hughes. We're all here for the same reason, to get this law passed. I'm 13. I was 12 when I got kidnapped with my friend. I've gone through some stuff that I don't think anybody should ever have to go through. The kind of kidnapping that I had to go through scarred me for life. Now, imagine this happened to your kid. Please, everyone, close your eyes. Now, try to imagine the fear in your eyes when your kid didn't come home from school when they were supposed to. Then you didn't... Then you get the call when you barely even understand your kid, but can hear they got kidnapped and they barely escaped. And you still don't know where they are until they give the phone to another stranger to tell you where they are. Then you finally get to your kid, wrapping your arms around them, never wanting to let them go. Can you see the fear, the pain, and the hurt in their eyes? Can you see all the tears rolling down their cheeks? You want to help, but you know there's nothing you can do to help them, because you know no matter how hard you try, you can never get rid of what they seen, everything they heard. Then they are gonna cry and think of it. Can you see them waking up every night because they just had another nightmare about it? You know there is nothing you can do, so you just walk into their room, sit beside them, hold them close, tight, and you just start to cry with them, telling them everything is going to be okay, but even you know it's not going to be okay. This just keeps repeating every day. Okay, now you can open your eyes. Did you see the tears on their faces? Feel the hurting in your eyes, and all you wanted was it for it to end. I just wanted you to see that and feel the emotions, because every sex offender that doesn't stay locked up gets out and is going to do that to more families. It's not fair to anyone. So please don't make anyone go through what me and my friend and the shepherds had to go through. But if we can get this law passed, you have no idea how many lives you can save or how many families you can save from going through this. Because I can promise you that not all of the kids that get kidnapped are going to be as lucky as I was. Look at all the people and families that have had to go through this kind of stuff. They don't get to live their lives like they wanted to because of the sex offenders that keep getting out of prison. Look at Kathleen's family. Look at me and my family. This wasn't fair to Kathleen or me. You were innocent kids this happened to. Please use your voice, stand up for what you know is right, and make a difference. It doesn't matter the age, you may think that you can't do anything and you won't or can't make a difference. But I promise you, you are wrong. Keep using your voice. You can save lives and make a big difference. So please help me make a difference and change the law.
For sharing that with us very much. Mr. Shepherd.
My name is Michael Shepherd. And Kathleen was my daughter. I just want to leave you with the last words she said. When she told Desi that we didn't deserve this. That's all she said. Thank you.
Anybody else that would like to speak at this point? Okay. There is an amendment. I've passed this out earlier. It's an amendment that was brought to us by the County Attorneys Association, just kind of clarifying some of the offenses on the good time credit side. And I think it's beneficial, and I'm going to propose that we pass this bill with that amendment. It's deals with some of the just classifications of offenses, and if anybody's got any questions on that, we can bring that up at this point, or you can certainly get a hold of us later on that as well.
I do have a question. Representative, I just received a copy of the amendment. Could you or perhaps Mr. Ritchie go through all of the various offenses that would be categorized as a Category C sentences under the amended bill?
Mr. Ritchie, would you like to step forward for a second and
I would need the code to I can't get trust numbers even my
well, I just I mean there's a lot of them and I don't need to go through each of them one by one. I'm just wondering if you could tell me what they are. And if you can't, if you
I can't just from memory, I would need to sit down and be accurate.
Okay.
The code.
Okay.
Our assaults, you know, 7-Elevens and barbecues and that sort of thing, but I would need to sit down and go through those.
Okay, and I have a copy of the bill, but you're saying from looking at the bill you wouldn't be able to tell which.
Again, I wouldn't trust my memory just from the numbers.
Okay. And it looks like it includes burglary, is that correct?
There is a victim under 15 or
under. And with that attempted burglary, so if there's a home and there's children in the home asleep upstairs with their parents and somebody attempts to break in, leaves, that would be a Category C offense.
It's possible. As you know, there's a discretion involved in charging these things.
Okay, but under the law, it certainly could be.
Possible.
Right.
Or if the 12-year-old in the home alone and confronted in a burglary, yes, that's possible.
Well, right, and that certainly would make more sense. If somebody burglarizes a home and steals something belonging to a 12 or 13-year-old, that the child would be a victim, correct?
I'd have to say that probably wouldn't meet the criteria for most prosecutors.
Okay. So this would be these 20 or plus crimes that we're now going to categorize as Category C crimes. Is it your position then it would be up to the prosecutor on a case-by-case basis as to whether or not they included that Category C as part of the charge?
If they would charge it and convict the person of those listed crimes, then it would be subject to the earned credit limitation.
No, what I'm asking, though, is I think before there was a question about whether it would be up to the judge to exercise discretion as to whether or not to impose that Category C restriction, and Representative Baltimore said no, which I think is definitely as it's intended. It sounds as though you're saying it would be up to the prosecutor in each individual case to decide whether or not to charge it with the Category C restriction. And if the prosecutor decided not to charge it that way, then it wouldn't carry that. Is that correct?
I don't think there's an option for charging the Category C as an option. That's a prison sentence issue, if they're convicted of the crimes listed and the victim is 15 or under and they're sent to prison, then they would be subject to the Category C limitations.
Okay. So in that case, and I'm not trying to be difficult, but again, if someone burglarized a home, nobody was there, or say somebody was there, but they were upstairs and they took something belonging to a child. I mean, by definition, that is second degree burglary. There's a child victim. There would not be discretion at that point, correct?
Prosecutors always have discretion in charging, as you know.
Okay, and I guess I'm obviously missing something because I thought you just said that there would be no discretion, but that's fine. I mean,
about discretion in the charging, not in the application of the Category C earned credit limitations.
Okay.
It's the prosecutor discretion is in the charging and in leading to the conviction. After that, after the conviction, if that occurs, then the limitations would apply to any sentence imposed.
And did you come up with the offenses that are categorized as Category C crimes?
We were requested to look at it, and these were the ones that we came up with. We eliminated a lot of cases where we didn't think that it was appropriate or there would ever be a 15-year-old victim, such as assault of a police officer. So you don't see that in there, because there aren't many 15-year-old police officers. Otherwise, we took crimes where we thought conceivably you could have a child victim, and this would be appropriate.
And one other question. If someone's convicted of a sex offense under current law, if it's a felony, they are under lifetime supervision through parole, correct?
That's a good question for Mr. Scaletta, rather than me.
Okay, you don't know the answer to that one?
I say it's a good question for Mr. Scaletta.
All right, okay. So you're declining to answer that one, correct?
I'm saying Mr. Scaletta knows a lot more about parole eligibility than I do.
All right, well, thank you. Maybe just briefly, Mr. Scaletta, are you, here you are. Do you mind if I ask him
please,
real quickly?
Please. Care to have a seat? And
Mr. Chair, would it be okay if I had to defer questions for research director?
Absolutely.
We know the answers, but I may have to defer.
Whoever's got the answers to Representative Wolf's questions is more than welcome to sit at the table.
Right. Thank you, sir. And this is a really simple question, so I have no doubt that you'll be able to answer it. Just so, at the time, at current time, anybody convicted of a felony sex offense is sentenced to a special sentence of lifetime parole, correct?
Any felony that is a Class D or greater, Class B and misdemeanor are 10 years, and Class C and greater are 1 year.
And what that means is once they are released, they are under supervision through the Department of Parole if it's a Class C or higher for the rest of their life, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And you probably don't know much about the parole system, how intensive it is, or do you?
Well, we do. Parole is operated by the judicial district. However, in cases where someone is released from their sentence, standards of their assessments are going to be implemented. So one could be placed under lifetime supervision and be in a situation where they have to report on a very, very regular basis at some point through the process if all conditions are being met. Clearly, then maybe the supervision would be less than a little bit rather than being on a regular basis, maybe on a monthly basis. So there are, it's the discretion there. However, I can assure you that our people out there.
Thank you. And that's the main reason I asked that question. I think what happened to this, you know, both of these little girls was a horrible thing. And I'm not saying that had this person been sentenced, you know, under the current law, but if he had been, he would have been, it's my understanding, he would have been serving a special sentence of lifetime parole. And, you know, while it might not have saved these children, you know, I'm glad that we do have that law in place, and I'm glad to hear that it's taken very seriously so that when sex offenders, sexual predators are released, and all of them except those serving a lifetime sentence will eventually be released, it's good to hear that we do have some supervision available to protect, you know, children, families of Iowa that wasn't available back when this person was sentenced. So thank you very much for, you know, working with your people to try and keep people safe.
Anything else?
No.
All right. Any other comments, questions from the public? All right. You know, seeing none then, at this point in time, I'm going to go ahead and sign off for myself on the bill as amended. I'll leave it to my companions here to decide whether or not they want to do that as well. And I thank you all for coming and for the interest in this. And that will conclude the meeting. So thank you all very much for coming.